Hey y'all, welcome back to the Brianna Approved Podcast. I am beyond excited because we have today the founder and CEO of Epic Dental, Donald Bailey. If you don't know Donald, you will love him. If you don't follow him on Instagram, you absolutely need to. He had the goal of crafting a better way to help people fight back against cavities, and he wanted to create a smaller, sweeter and better approach to your smile and created Epic Dental products, which contain xylitol, which we will talk about today, which is an all natural tool to improve your family's oral health. I loved your quote that said, if brushing and flossing really worked, I would have far fewer cavities. So Donald, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm great. Thanks for having me on today.
I'm excited. I found you on Instagram a while ago. I guess I had been taking some of your products for a while and I just didn't put two and two together, like a person behind the face. And then I started seeing a resurgence of all of your videos. So I was beyond ecstatic to connect with you.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that you'd been using the products before you saw us on Instagram.
Yeah. So you've been around since 2003, I believe, is when you kind of founded the company, right?
Yeah, it started almost 20 years ago. It was November 2003 that I really started to explore, hey, could we make a business out of this?
I love it. When I was reading up on, I was trying to do some research on your bio, I saw that actually back in the day you used to sell candy out of your backpack. Is that what you used to do? Is that your original hustle?
That was my original hustle. It was a junior high. There was a 7-Eleven across the street. And believe it or not, you could still buy at 7-Eleven prices and sell it at a markup to kids at the school. And it worked great until one day my inventory was confiscated by a teacher who said, no, we're not going to sell candy here at the school.
I love that. I love that you're come full circle with that, right? And we're going to get through some of the myths today about sugar and whatever. I know your wife also is a big proponent, I believe, of, I think it said Diet Coke on the website as well. She's a Diet Coke drinker and people are always super taboo about that.
No, she's not a Diet Coke drinker. She's a Coke drinker.
Coke drinker.
Just Coke. No diet. She's not a fan of aspartame.
Fair enough. We will talk about sweeteners in a minute, but I just love that. I thought that was very cheeky to have that. But one of your videos that I think originally resonated with me is that you said you should pay attention to what car your dentist drives. And this is so, I had no idea that there was like scamming going on in the dental world. My grandma used to always joke and say, take care of your teeth and your feet. And I never understood that until I was older, because when you go to the dentist now, when you're 30, over the age of 30, you say, how much is this going to cost me, as opposed to like, I hope I don't have a cavity, right? And so you said, are they selling a dental service or are they a good dentist? I would love for you to explain this, where this kind of came from, and how do you actually know what to look for in a good dentist?
Well, great question. So I caught a lot of flack for that video in particular, because there are so many great, honest dentists out there. But they did a study, and this was in Switzerland. It's not in the U.S. They released it last year, where they took a guy, and he had no cavities. He was examined by four different dentists independently. They all said there's no cavities, there's no decay. He went to several offices around, I don't remember if it was 30 or 100, but it was a lot, and was diagnosed at about 30% of those offices of having an average of four cavities. So it tells you that maybe there's some subjective judgment that goes into cavities, but there's a lot of people that are just in it to make the money. And I want us to stay away from those shady dentists. I found that out because I had my own experience that way. My sister-in-law is a dental hygienist and she graduated from school. She went to a new dentist and I was like, oh, I'll support. I'll come get my teeth cleaned at your office. That'll be no big deal. It needs to happen. And so I went and she cleaned my teeth. And afterwards, her dentist diagnosed me with four cavities. And I said, I'm pretty certain I don't have any cavities. I've been using my products for years. I know a lot about the health of my mouth, and I'm really confident that nothing's changed since my last visit. So I went back to my old dentist. I said, hey, will you take a look? He says, I have cavities in these four teeth. And he said, I see nothing. And it was eye-opening to me to go through that experience myself and say, oh my gosh, there are people out there that are going to tell you, you have a problem just so that they can make money. And there are some dentists that really focus on making money. And I think it's great to make money. I make money. It's something that we're all doing when we're out in the world. But somebody who will prioritize that above your health is the wrong kind of dentist. And it's not to say that dentists who are business people are going to cheat you, but your honest dentist isn't as focused on his bottom line as he is on your health. right? Or her bottom line. You want somebody that's really going to focus on your health. So finding a dentist that can think the right way and have the right philosophy is really critical. One of the questions I would like to, if I were shopping for a new dentist, that I would ask is, what's your office's protocol for an incipient lesion? An incipient lesion is a small cavitation in the enamel surface. It is not progressed. So it's an area, it's really an area of demineralization. It's not progressed to cavitation. The enamel is starting to go away and it hasn't gone into the dentin yet. A dentist who's pretty aggressive from a treatment philosophy will say, oh, we should drill and fill that cavity. A dentist who is more conservative and not as worried about their bottom line because they don't need to make money is going to say, well, let's take a wait and see approach. Maybe we can remineralize that cavity. It's one of the easiest ways to understand how your dentist approaches things. And that's not to say anybody who drills and fills an incipient lesion is making a bad choice, but it's a subjective choice. It subjects you to more risk because once a tooth is drilled and filled, it leads to significantly more cost. They've done studies, and I think Delta Dental's most recent one said, once you drill a tooth, you're going to spend $3,500 over your lifetime on the repair of that tooth because fillings don't last forever. And so you really want to avoid drilling it when you can and find a dentist who will support that. There are a lot of them. If you don't think you have any cavities, you've experienced no sensation, no problems, no change in your health that would indicate that, I'd always say get a second opinion. Find another dentist. Find somebody who says, I love my dentist, not because they're friendly, but because I always walk away with a clean bill of health. And when you find somebody that can tell you that and you get a second opinion, maybe you'll find a new dental home, somewhere where they'll actually focus on treating you well.
I love that answer. I honestly had no idea. I was living in California for a while, and then when I moved back to New Jersey, finding a new dentist is like finding a good relationship. It's tough on these streets. You gotta mesh well. I think you have to align with, you know, philosophies and whatever. And so I went and I saw this guy and he told me that I had 14 cavities. And I was like, 14 cavities? I was like, this is not, I called my parents hysterically crying. It was like the world was ending. I went to the next dentist. They were like, you have one little tiny cavity, potentially. They were like, let's watch it and see what happens. And I was like, that's when it just opened up my world to being like, I had no idea that you even had to have these kind of questions. So I think you brought up a lot of great points to think and take a step back and say like, is this actually, you know, what it, I thought that was just the best video ever. I'm happy that I saw it.
I'm glad you saw. I love that you went and got a second opinion. Like that is, so many people think they just have to believe what happened here. But if you're feeling nothing and there haven't been any significant changes in your teeth, the thought that maybe you suddenly out of nowhere have 14 cavities, it's insane, right? And so it's great to go get that checked out.
You feel like a failure sometimes when you leave the dentist because you're like, I do everything right that they say I'm supposed to do. I eat healthy, all this stuff. And so when I heard that, it was like soul crushing. And then I went to the other place and I was like, okay, I'm not a failure. But yeah, I mean, it can be very daunting, I'm sure, to a lot of people. And I just don't think there's a lot of great dental education out there. So that's why I love your Instagram page and you guys are constantly posting. I think it's really wonderful what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you very much. I want to tell you, it's tough when you think about finding a good dentist. You also want somebody who's going to make you feel great no matter what the condition of your mouth is, right? Because people who have cavities you're not a gank teeth, stank smile, yuck mouth is what we called it in one ad we used to run, right? You brush, you floss, maybe you don't floss, but you're doing the stuff that they recommend. And yet so often you can leave feeling like a total failure. Like you got a grade and you did not pass that test, even though you took all the steps you should. Finding a dentist who doesn't make you feel like a failure is critical. And so it's critical because it makes a difference in what you choose to do with your health, right? Are you going to listen to that dentist? Are you going to follow their advice? Are you going to make changes? Well, if you feel like a failure, no, you're going to get in a shame cycle and you're going to be like, I just can't do it. And it's like somebody who wants to lose weight. They try and they fail at it. And finally, they just give up and they indulge and they binge. And I think the same thing happens. Well, it doesn't matter what I'm going to do with my smile. So my teeth are always going to be a disaster. And so you make bad choices. That's where if you can find somebody who doesn't make you feel like a failure and helps you really solve the problems, you're going to be so much happier long-term with your dental health. So I'm glad you found somebody that helped you see, look, no, you're doing the right things and it can work.
Yeah, no, it definitely trial and error, I think, with anything when it comes to your health. So I love that. So I had to open with that question. We're going to talk about your products in a minute too, which I love, but I want to first take a step back because you hear from everybody that you have to brush and floss, and we should be doing those things, obviously, but that doesn't always eliminate the bacteria. And I'm not sure people fully understand the role of bacteria in what's causing the development of cavities. So, and I think you also did a post about, like, if you're brushing your teeth, unless you're going to throw out your toothbrush every single time, you're kind of doing a disservice if you don't, like, support the bacteria in your mouth. So can you talk a little bit about oral microbiota? How do we even get a dysbiotic bacteria profile in the first place in our mouth? Like, what is the role of bacteria in cavities, and kind of how do they live together or function and dysfunction together?
Yeah, so cavities are always caused by acid. Okay. Acid can come from the foods you eat. So if you eat a salad dressing that has vinegar in it, for example, highly acidic, and that vinegar can start to dissolve your teeth, bacteria will love when that creates an opening for them. So the way you initially get the bad bacteria is from sharing saliva with someone. Most of us get our oral microbiome established initially by our primary caregiver. So if your mother is the one that's taking care of you when you're an infant and your teeth erupt through the gum line, and she tastes your spoon, or she takes a sip of your drink, or even kisses you, she can pass that bacteria that she has on to you. And if she has a great healthy bacteria, your oral microbiome is going to thrive. But there are specific bacteria that are very common. Streptococcus mutans is the one that I think we think about most when, or at least I think about most when I talk about cavities. It's an acid-producing bacteria that thrives in acidic environments. So once it gets enough acid going, acid can kill off a lot of the healthy bacteria. It gives it an opening to really spread out and thrive inside of that ecosystem. So people that have high levels of strep mutans tend to suffer with cavities no matter what they do. And they could get those from a partner that they've kissed. The moment after you have your teeth cleaned is a moment where you're prone to getting all kinds of new bacteria. The hygienist has literally gone and scraped all of the biofilm that he or she could off of your teeth. And once that comes off your teeth, it's open game for about 24, 48 hours, and then it starts to repopulate. You get that ecosystem that you had before or the new one to take hold. So you want to be promoting a positive oral microbiome. To do that, what we recommend is that people use xylitol regularly. Xylitol tends to suppress the Streptococcus mutans. What happens is their metabolic process is set up so that they cannot digest it. They preferentially select it, but because they don't have an enzyme to break it down, they excrete it and they expend ATP in the process. So they die off trying to consume the xylitol. And they're never able to do it, but they keep reconsuming the one that they just expelled. So if you're using it often enough, they start to die and you really are able to alter your oral microbiome. The reason we brush is to scrape away the biofilm that's on our teeth. The reason we floss is to get the biofilm that's underneath our gum line. I think so many people think they're supposed to floss and just touch their gums and they're good. No, you're actually supposed to be taking the floss up under the gums and around the teeth because you're trying to get the bacteria that lives under the gum line. And it's a different biofilm under your gum line than it is above your gum line. Your teeth, there's multiple ecosystems. And when you get gum disease, you're dealing with a different kind of bacteria that's up under the gum line. But one of the things we find is Streptococcus mutans lays down a significant amount of plaque. Plaque is a sticky substrate that they excrete after they consume things. And they want to put down that plaque so that they have more homes to live. It also makes homes for more bacteria. So we have periodontists that recommend our products for their patients who struggle with gum disease not because it directly impacts the bacteria that causes gum disease, but because it can help eliminate some of that plaque film, and that creates less homes for bacteria generally. So there's good bacteria. You want them in your mouth. You want to have a biofilm for sure. You're going to have one whether you want it or not. But if you can have a good one and not have those kinds of bacteria, you're going to have much better results with your smile.
That was a great answer. I think that's so important for people to hear. And okay, so I have a follow-up question with that, because flossing gets a bad rap. I recently started doing the water pick and I feel like I like that a lot more. So number one, what is the actual steps of what it's supposed to be like? Floss, brush, water pick? What's the steps with that, right?
Sure. Okay, so this first step that I think people should do is rinse with water. Most people think, oh, I just want to go straight to brushing or flossing. And some people do it immediately after a meal. But you want to rinse with water. You do not want to brush your teeth if you just had an acidic meal. You're going to brush acid on them. So for me, I like to brush before I eat anything in the morning. Okay. It's a chance to disrupt the biofilm that's built up all night while I've been sleeping. And so I like to start by brushing. I don't floss in the morning. I just floss in the evening. And I don't floss with traditional floss. I just use a water pick. So I start my routine first rinsing with water, then taking the water pick and really doing a great job getting up underneath the gums. Studies show that string floss and a water pick style water flosser remove a similar amount of bacteria. And so I think that they're pretty interchangeable. But for me, string floss is hassle. I tend not to want to do it, but I'm willing to use the water pick, no problem. And I know how much water I can put in the water pick, and it's just going to go down, and it's easy. So I recommend for people who struggle flossing, pick up a water pick. They're not expensive, and they really can make a big difference in what your oral health looks like. After I use the water pick, then I brush. You don't typically want to rinse after you brush. The reason for that is you're usually using a toothpaste that has some kind of remineralizing agent. A source of calcium is a great tool to aid in remineralization. Some of the sources are like nanohydroxyapatite or hydroxyapatite, not the nano version, or fluoride. These can all aid in remineralization. I personally am not a big fan of fluoride. I use our fluoride-free version of the toothpaste, but there's good reason to see there's good studies showing that fluoride is protective of the teeth because it changes how calcium and phosphate bond on your teeth. Nanohydroxyapatite or hydroxyapatite is just a version of calcium and phosphate that can be applied to your teeth. Sometimes it's not bioavailable enough to go through the biofilm. That's one of the challenges you have. If you're not doing a good job removing the biofilm or changing the type of biofilm that you have, by using something like xylitol, then you end up with remineralizing agents that can't penetrate what's already built up on your teeth. So it's useful to, sorry, this is off topic of your question.
No, this is one of my questions. So I'm glad that you got into this.
So I just want us, when we think about remineralizing agents, to understand you want to leave them on your teeth so that they can have an impact, but you want to clean your teeth of the biofilm as much as you can so that they can also have an impact first. So for me, it's first rinse with water, then it's do the water pick, and then it's brush, and then don't rinse after you brush. And I think that's a pretty solid routine for most people to follow. If you want to follow it, if you want to include an oral rinse, I would do your oral rinse probably before you use the water. Well, sorry, I'd probably do it after the water pick. Depends what you're using your oral rinse to accomplish. There are remineralizing oral rinses that you could use after you brushed if you wanted to do that because you're trying to lay down some kind of remineralizing agent. There are other oral rinses that are designed to eliminate bacteria, and you'll want to do that before you brush, unless it's an acidic mouthwash. And a lot of people don't realize a common brand like Listerine, highly acidic. I would never use that on my teeth. It's also full of alcohol. So it's going to kill most of the bacteria, including the good bacteria, and it's going to dry out your mouth. Your saliva is your mouth's best friend. It's like the thing your teeth really need to be able to remineralize. And so when people choose to use an alcohol-based mouthwash, I get really frustrated. I'm like, please, please, please find a new way to do that.
Yeah, no, you brought up so many good points and questions I wanted to ask anyway. So I think a lot of my listeners are in the camp of, you know, holistic alternative wellness. They're reading every label and all that, myself included. So fluoride is always a very touchy subject. And I went many moons ago all the way to the extreme of like, you know, fluoride's going to kill you. It's bad for you. It's in our water, so on and so forth. When I lived in California, I actually was dating an orthodontist at the time who was like, no, you need fluoride. We would get into debates about it. And then lo and behold, I started doing research and I was like, I understand the mechanism of action for why fluoride can be important for some people, which is what brought me to discover hydroxyapatite, however you say it. So I think that's also where I then started to do some research about xylitol and then understanding as well about mouthwash, because then, you know, in this world that we live in, if something's a little bit bad, it's going to totally kill you. So there was the snippets of if you use mouthwash, you're a terrible person and it's going to ruin the rest of your health and so on and so forth. I think there's always a happy medium in the health spectrum, right? So what would you say somebody could use for a mouthwash alternative if they want to maybe avoid some of those alcohol ones? And then where can xylitol come in? And maybe just actually explaining what xylitol is for people who think it's an instrument that you play in the sixth grade band, and it is not. So
yeah, for sure. So I want to separate that into a couple of questions. First, if they want to use a mouthwash, how can they find a good one that they want to use? Definitely stay away from alcohol-based mouthwashes. There's no question that they are not, they're going to kill beneficial bacteria and dry out your mouth. They're not going to do good things for you. Find one that include something that's going to go after the biofilm in a selective way. So some people suggest nano silver mouthwashes. We sell a xylitol-based mouthwash. You want one that's not acidic. Your teeth can really start to dissolve below a pH of 5.5. So it can be mildly acidic, but you don't want something that goes below 5.5 because that's going to start to dissolve your teeth. So you want to stay out of those kinds of mouthwashes. Obviously, I love mine. It's great. It's got a great flavor. We spike the flavor system with menthol, so you still kind of get that burn that I find satisfying, but I know a lot of people don't want that. And it's a burn that's typically associated with alcohol, but we've accomplished it without putting alcohol in there. So I really like that for mouthwash. Adding a remineralizing agent like hydroxyapatite, or there are lots of sources of calcium, can be useful for a mouthwash. But for me, I don't typically include one as a part of my routine because it's just not that relevant. For me, the most critical part of my routine, there's probably three things. It is to make sure I use my water pick, to make sure that I brush with a toothpaste that can really scrub and apply enough xylitol that I can change what's going on with the biofilm, and that I chew gum, xylitol gum, after meals, snacks, sodas, anything that's not water that I put in my mouth, because you want your saliva to come in and neutralize immediately. Your saliva is what matters in all of this. And having healthy saliva is really about having a reasonably healthy diet. You need to have enough vitamin K, K2. You have to get enough vitamin D3 and enough calcium in your diet. If you're getting those things regularly, and if you have a reasonably healthy diet, those are very easy things to get. Your saliva is going to be full of the minerals your teeth need, and it's very capable of redepositing them after any episode of demineralization. So I don't think we need fluoride. So you dated an orthodontist and he might have argued with you about it. Fluoride is not a necessary nutrient for your teeth. Teeth are not made of fluoride. What happens is calcium and phosphate bond naturally in your teeth. That calcium and phosphate as molecules love each other. In fact, it's one of the challenges when you look at creating remineralizing agents. If you put them both in a product like toothpaste, they might get together in the tube instead of getting together in your teeth. You want them to get together on your teeth because that's how you strengthen the tooth structure. So finding something that has enough bioavailable calcium is really a big deal for, I think, remineralization. But if you use fluoride, what fluoride does is it interferes with that bond in a way that it makes the bond more acid resistant. Sometimes they'll say it makes it stronger, but stronger is not really true. It actually makes it more brittle. If you get enough fluoride in there, the teeth are somewhat more fragile. But what it does is it makes them more acid resistant. So instead of dissolving at maybe 5.5, I don't remember the number, they dissolve at 5. And so you can withstand more acid attacks before you start to worry about cavities. But I think for most people, the critical thing they need to do if they've really struggled with cavities is eliminate acid-producing bacteria and reduce the acid exposures they have throughout the day. This is going to get off topic, but a lot of people struggle with cavities because of how frequently they are consuming something that's not water. So do 3 meals a day, you're great. That'll put you down for about 30 minutes in an acidic zone where you're going to demineralize. But if you sip on your coffee for 3 hours, you're in that zone for 3.5 hours. And then if you have a meal shortly after, you know, let's say, hey, from 8 till 11, I sipped on coffee. And then at 12:30, I had lunch. I've only had an hour and a half of remineralization available to my teeth. Whereas if I had my morning whatever coffee at 8 o'clock, and by 8:30, I'm done and I don't eat till 12:30, I get 4 hours of remineralization. That makes a big difference. So if you can reduce the frequency with which you're consuming acidic foods and or carbohydrates that can be processed by the bacteria into acid, you're going to be way better off. My shortcut for most people who don't want to think about this hard is, instead of thinking about how often you're eating, just follow it with some xylitol gum or mints immediately. Rinse with water, put in the gum or mints, and yeah, just like those. And you're going to end up clobbering that, neutralizing the bacteria, and starting the remineralization process even faster.
Yeah, I think that is so helpful to hear. I actually, sometimes when I'm feeling spicy, I do a combination of hydroxyapatite toothpaste and the xylitol toothpaste, and I mix them together, and I'm just really having a morning for self-care. So, you know,
I love it.
We are fluoride free in this household. Anywho, we've danced around xylitol. We've thrown it around a little bit. Can we take a step back, very elementary, and just explain actually what xylitol is and how people can actually get it? And then I guess maybe talk about dosage as well, right? And then we can talk about the products that I think that for me is the easiest way that I get them. So
yeah, I would love to talk about that. So xylitol is a natural sweetener. You can find it in lots of fibrous plant materials. It occurs naturally in raspberries, for example. We get ours out of a non-GMO corn. I know it's hard to find non-GMO corn, but we do. A number of our products are non-GMO project verified. And we're proud of that because it's hard to do that. But what happens is you can pull xylitol out of these things. And xylitol is about a one-for-one exchange on sugar. It's not quite as sweet as sugar, but it almost is. And it looks crystalline, like a white crystalline powder, similar to what sugar would look like. So a lot of people use it. The first time it was discovered was during World War II. Finland was blockaded. They didn't have access to sugar. So the Nazis had said, hey, we're cutting you off. And so they said, what are our natural sources of sugar? And they pulled it out of the birch tree. And it was like a birch tree syrup, but they couldn't really commercialize it before the blockade ended. So they were able to get access to their regular sugar first, and they just kept using that. But it sat around, and in about the 70s, somebody said, we really want to explore what happens. We think this might be a beneficial sweetener to substitute in instead of sugar. So they did like full meals based on xylitol as the only sweetener. They found a couple of things. One, xylitol, when you consume it in large amounts, changes your gut microbiome too. So some people experience gas or bloating initially as their biome adjusts to what to do with all of this xylitol. Xylitol is in that category of sugar alcohols like maltitol, mannitol, sorbitol, all those ones that end in an OL. They look a lot like a sugar on the molecular level and a lot like an alcohol. And so they get categorized as a sugar alcohol. But xylitol is fairly unique around those because of its five carbon structure. And the five carbon structure is what really makes it work well for cavities. So what happens is they do these studies, people substitute it in, and they realize, wait, this population of people has fewer cavities. It's one of the benefits they noticed up in Finland when they did this. And so people said, well, maybe there's some thing that we could do. So they start putting it in gums and candies and giving people regular exposure to it. And some studies said, oh yeah, it's really effective. It helps get rid of cavities. And other studies says, no, it doesn't matter. Well, the thing that I noticed when I was looking at all this research is like, okay, why do we see some studies that are so positive in the results and some that are lackluster? And I basically built a scatter plot where I said, well, what was the dosage of xylitol they were given across time? And it turned out that the studies that showed subpar results had people who did not get exposure to significant amounts of xylitol regularly. And as a result, they weren't getting the benefits. So my scatter plot suggested, hey, you need about 5 to 6 grams of xylitol a day. There was a study that came out of the University of Washington, I think it was 2010, 2012, that set theirs at about just over 6 grams a day. And it showed that if you got 6 grams a day, you were able to eliminate cavity-causing bacteria in a meaningful level. Below that, it just wasn't that different than using any other sugar-free gum. So that's where we really recommend people get up to that 6 grams a day. I think it's ideal if it's spread over the day. That's what was shown in the study. They used xylitol gum so that they got 6 grams, they got a total of 6 grams over 3 exposures during the day. So 2 grams 3 times a day is what I tell people to shoot for. So chase your normal meals with 2 pieces of the Epic xylitol gum or 4 of the Epic mints, and then supplement, bookend your days with brushing with our xylitol toothpaste morning and evening so that you're getting one more additional exposure that sits on your teeth and works on that biofilm. I find most people that get that exposure within as little as 2 weeks start to feel like their teeth are slippery smooth. You can scrape your teeth and you can be like, oh, is there a little white thing on my teeth? That's plaque. And when people start using the xylitol regularly, they're amazed that their teeth just feel different. They're slippery and smooth, and they don't, like, I scrape my teeth and nothing comes off.
No, that's the biggest thing that I noticed when I started taking it more consistently. I feel like my teeth are like a slip and slide now, like the insides as well. Instead of, I know people will, I'm sure you'd be cringing to hear that, but they buy the scrapers off the internet and they're going in there. And I'm like, I don't know how safe that is. Yeah, not great.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, but I've noticed with like, I do the mints after I eat and I do it throughout the day. And then it also just makes my, it gives me that like minty feeling, but that is the biggest difference I've noticed in my teeth as well, as that slippery feeling.
Yeah, for sure. It's because you're changing the biofilm. So you're not getting the sticky substrates that are catching all the food you eat and consuming that and turning it into more housing for more bacteria, right? And so if you use it consistently, like I said, two pieces of gum or 2 grams, 3 times a day, 2 weeks of that, you will notice a huge difference.
I love it. Okay. I have one more question for you, and then we're going to get into rapid fire questions, and then you can tell everybody where they can buy the products and where they can follow you. I get compliments a lot on my white teeth. I don't think I really do anything for them. Sometimes I'll just do the old school like baking powder and what's the other thing that you mix with it that's probably not good? Hydrogen peroxide, very old school. I don't do it all the time. Whatever. I do it like once in a blue moon if I have a date or something. Cool. I know, I believe you said that brushing your teeth doesn't make them white, right? Or what is the deal with that? How can people, I get, you know, questions all the time and I'm like, I'm not a dentist. I don't know. So how can people get whiter teeth?
Yeah, so a peroxide-based rinse is the ideal way to get, not a rinse, a peroxide gel typically is what you use. It's a bleaching gel. Getting trays made at your dentist and having them give you a gel is probably the most reliable and consistent way to do it. There are in-office whitening procedures that can go faster. All of them can cause sensitivity, just so you know. What the gels are trying to do is get down into the dentin layer and to effectively bleach the stain that's in there. So your teeth are covered with enamel, and then they have these little dentin tubules. And what you're trying to do is get it in deep enough you can change that. If you use something like baking soda and hydrogen peroxide, two things are happening. And this might be why you're getting whiter teeth, and you may want to reconsider this. So hydrogen peroxide is acidic. So you're scraping away some of your enamel when you're doing that. So you may be literally scraping off part of your teeth you want to keep, and you're getting some whiteness exposed from that. If you get down to the dentin, though, dentin's typically pretty, it's typically more discolored than the enamel surface. And that's why you're trying to get the gel to go in there. Baking soda is pretty abrasive. So it's why a lot of people do that. It's also why you should never use a charcoal toothpaste. A lot of people love charcoal toothpaste for, oh, it helps white. Yeah, what it does is it scrapes away layers of things on your teeth. And it might scrape away some stain, but it's also scraping away very useful tooth structure. So please don't do abrasive things on your teeth. Go for something that's got an RDA of 80 or below. You really want to find that. I'm talking about a toothpaste or something. And if you want a whiter teeth, just get a gel and whiten them. That's the easiest way to do it and most reliable to keep your healthy smile.
Good to know. Mom, I know you'll be listening to this. She is the one who did the baking soda and all of that. So we are going to all be getting off that plan effective immediately. So thank you for dropping knowledge on that. Okay. Couple rapid fire questions and just whatever comes to your mind, you know, it doesn't have to be, a soliloquy. So first things first, I'm a big fan of routines, but short routines, not people who do these 30 step get ready with me routines in the morning, because I don't know who has the time. So for you, do you have a morning or nighttime routine non-negotiable? Just one thing.
I have a non-negotiable nighttime routine. It's funny, I take longer in the bathroom than my wife does when we get ready for bed. And you'd think she has to take off makeup and stuff, but I suffer from dry mouth because of a medication I take. And so as a result of that, very first thing I do is I go get my water and ice for the night so that I've got a cold water to go with me. I take my medicine, then I go through the oral care routine. I rinse my mouth, I use the water pick, I brush my teeth. And after that, I want to make sure that I give my wife a good snuggle and a good night. And then I'm out.
Aww,
I lay down on my side. I want cold sheets and cold pillows, too. If I can't find a cold place, that doesn't work for me.
That is important. Yes, your room should be at least below 70 degrees. So you're right on top of that. Yes, correct. Okay. What is a health rule that you think more people should break? I think a lot of people live in this really rigid black and white thinking now more than ever, because people want to fall into a camp. And I am a proponent of like, let's break some rules sometimes. So what's a health rule that you're like, let's get rid of it. Let's break it.
And this is just for your mouth, but do not worry about how much sugar you eat for your mouth health at all. It is such a wives' tale that sugar's the problem for your teeth. If you want to have candy, have candy. Now, all things in moderation, from my perspective, sugar has a lot of knock-on effects in the rest of your body. But in terms of your teeth, avoiding that is just silly.
I love that. Oh, wow. People are going to be real excited to hear about that. So that's a good one. Okay. What do you think is a health tip that is underrated that more people should be incorporating into their lives? It could be dental health. It could just be general health, something that you feel like doesn't get enough attention.
Yeah. Flossing gets a lot of, you should do it. And everybody thinks that. Just get a water flosser and do it. It is so easy. It is so simple. And it makes a huge difference for your overall health. People who have issues with their gums end up with like a leaky gum. You know how people talk about leaky gut? Well, the first part of your digestive tract is your mouth. And if you are not doing a good job taking care of your gums, you put yourself at risk for high blood pressure. You put yourself at risk for strokes, cardiovascular issues. That bacteria can cross into your bloodstream through your mouth. So please, please, please pick up a water pick and do it. I'm not going to tell you to floss every day. I heard that for years and was never willing to do it. I got a water pick and it was game changer.
I love my water pick. Is it true that if you are not feeling well, that you shouldn't go to the dentist, right? Because if like you're opening up your mouth, that is not great for your health. Or is that just a dental myth that's been circulating?
I've never heard that myth. Really? I don't want to go to the dentist. Yeah, I don't want to go to the dentist if I don't feel well, because I just don't want to share bad bacteria with them or other microbes. So generally, I would cancel if I'm not feeling well. But yeah, I don't worry about that. What happens when they clean your teeth? They do. They poke under the gums. They can cause it so that blood leaks out and you could get bacteria going through that way. So maybe there's some substance to that, but I've never heard that. So I've never considered it.
All right. Okay. Last two questions. And then you can tell everybody where they can follow you and buy all the Epic Dental products. If you had to create a tagline for dental care or oral care, what would it be? Like, so my tagline is, I always say, like, I'm pro living your best life, doing less to get more out of your health. What would be your tagline? Or maybe it's Epic Dental's tagline. Who knows?
I mean, I love our tagline right now, that's supercharge your toothbrush. You know, supercharge your oral hygiene is kind of how we think about it. So many people think, oh, brushing and flossing is the end all be all. But for me, you want to do more than that. You want to get to the place where you can really change things. And so that's why I put supercharge your toothbrush on all of our products. It's an opportunity for people to really do just a little bit more, change which products they're using to get far better results.
I love it. Okay. Last question. What is one piece of health, life, career, or love advice that you would give your younger self? I have a lot of very wise people on this podcast, and I'd love to get free advice.
So I struggled a lot, and this is very unique to, this is specific to me. But I grew up with what's called an avoidant attachment style and did not realize how bad my emotional health was. Confronting that and healing from that so that you can develop a secure attachment style will do more to increase your happiness and effectiveness in life than anything else I've found. So understand what your attachment style is and fix it.
Love that. People who are listening to this podcast are very aware of attachment style things. I am an anxious attachment style. So working on it.
There you go.
Working on it. Donald, this was a wealth of information. I love your products. I use them every day. I know people are going to want to after this. So where can people find you on Instagram? Where can they buy your products? And what is your favorite product currently?
Yeah, for sure. So epic.dental on Instagram is our handle. You can just follow along there. We also do kind of family advice. My wife and I, the Baileys.official, if you want to follow that. But dental health is really epic.dental. And then you can buy the products on epicdental.com, Amazon, or lots of natural product retailers if you just want to go to a store that's near you. That would depend where you live, where to find them. But lots of natural products retailers. For those of you that have Amazon Prime, that's kind of how I do it. My favorite go-to, most consistent product is the Epic Peppermint Gum.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's been my go-to from the beginning.
I keep the gum in my car and I keep the mints in my house sparse throughout. So Donald, well, I really appreciate your time. The show notes will have all of the links for everything so everybody can listen. And thank you so much for being a guest on the Brianna Approved podcast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this. It's been great.
Thank you.